Yeah, it's party time. It's Thursday. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get it on, Sarah Gonzalez.
Got my tequila.
You got tequila. We're drinking.
Ready to go.
We're rocking and rolling. I love this shirt. I miss precedented times. We didn't talk about any of the headlines on the Wednesday show. I haven't gotten anything this week. So I feel like I'm playing catch up.
You were on quite a roll. In yesterday's episode.
Feedback's awesome. The feedback is awesome. So, the border, the U.S. southern border arrests now surpass 2 million for the first time.
Wow.
That's
just arrests, by the way.
That's arrests. So, you know, probably twice that have come across.
Right.
One would assume, let's say at least 2 million have come across. Let's say 1 million. It's a lot of human beings. And
don't worry. The border towns can just handle
that. They can handle it. They have the infrastructure for it.
Not Martha's Vineyard, though. Don't ask them to.
No.
Don't ask them.
We would never.
No.
You know, 1 million people. Okay, so that is roughly the population of Fort Worth, Texas. All right, Fort Worth, I think, is about the 17th, 18th, 20th largest city in America, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. That's a lot of human beings. Let's say 1 million came across the border. Well, 2 million have been apprehended. So where are the 2 million that have been apprehended? Because if you go to these border town airports, McAllen, Texas stands out. The airports are full. We've been sending them into the interior of the United States for years now, mm-hmm. right? And Joe Biden was asked in a press conference yesterday about why is the border open worse than ever before? And he said, I'm not worried about Mexico. Or he said, I'm more concerned with Venezuela and places like that. And he actually said, we want to ship them back.
Who said that?
Joe Biden.
Really?
Yeah. He said, we're working on ways to ship them back to these states.
Oh.
Yeah.
Imagine if Donald Trump had
Well, exactly. I mean, if that type of phraseology had been used, it would be, well, it'd be hell to pay, quite honestly. And I want to see, you know, I never can find it when I want to find it. But I'll find the clip at the break.
Wow.
But he said it. You know, it's one of those Joe Biden's as he's walking away from the lectern, they ask a question, he comes back and he's going to make his point, you know, walking all the way back to the lectern like he's really going to show everybody. But that's what he said.
You know his handlers are dying on the inside when he turned back around.
I'm more interested in, you know, we're more interested in Venezuela. And he named off some other places, but he said, we're not worried about Mexico right now.
I mean, as if that there can't be, you know, threats from both countries. Now, I agree. It's not Mexicans that are crossing the border. In fact, Mexicans are getting annoyed that there are so many Americans that are moving to Mexico City. So I agree with that. But I just love that he's like, oh, no, Mexicans are fine. They're all good. It's just the Venezuelans that are bad.
So let's talk about that. So in the month of August 2022, there were 203,598 encounters along the southern border in August. It's a 1.7% increase over July's 199,976 figure, but lower than the encounters recorded last August. So about 200 lower. Of those encounters, 55,333 were migrants from Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua, representing 175% spike from a year ago, the figures show. The same time, encounters with migrants from Mexico and Central America fell for the third month in a row, 43% decrease from a year ago. So he said this says that the Border Patrol said 157,921 were unique migrant encounters, while the remainder involved repeated encounters with migrants who had already been expelled or deported. So, they're leaving and coming back, right?
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
And did you see the clip from the resident on Martha's Vineyard when they ask her about Kamala Harris being the border czar. And she said, that's a joke. We all know that, right?
No, yeah. I didn't see that either.
Yeah. I'm giving y'all some homework to go look this stuff
up. Yeah, I know.
Up.
Me too. I'm like, I'm the media.
You are.
I'm the news person, and I haven't seen either of these clips.
But she said, oh, no, that's a joke. We know that. She goes, and I don't blame Ron DeSantis for sending them here. I mean, why wouldn't they want to come here?
Right.
And I mean, yeah. That's common sense.
Well, I love that, you know, someone tried to tell me that the other day online, of just like how evil and what a fascist Ron DeSantis was to take them to a place like Martha's Vineyard. It's like, really? Because the immigrants themselves were telling news reporters that they were actually thanking Ron DeSantis for taking them there. They were actually pretty pleased with it.
Yeah.
It was just the white liberals who were
so
upset.
You know, two things I want to point out, two stories. First of all, the Bexar County Sheriff, that's San Antonio, Texas.
Mm, I love that you're bringing this up.
Should have gotten there yesterday with this story. But he's the one who said he was going to bring charges against Ron DeSantis. First of all, there were 54 people who died in a tractor trailer from overheating in San Antonio, Texas, not long ago.
In Bexar County.
Under his jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, but again, this is Javier Salazar, announced the investigation during a press conference, saying that he was bothered by the flight, so we're absolutely opening up an investigation into this. Jeez. This statement from the governor's office in Florida said immigrants have been more than willing to leave Bexar County after being abandoned, homeless, and left to fend for themselves. Florida gave them an opportunity to seek greener pastures in a sanctuary jurisdiction that offered greater resources for them, as we expected. Unless the Massachusetts National Guard has abandoned these individuals, they have been provided accommodation, sustenance, clothing, and more options to succeed following their unfair enticement into the United States, unlike the 53 immigrants who died in the truck found abandoned in Bexar County this June. Horrible.
But who's using them as political pawns again?
Exactly. Why are they being enticed to come across the southern border of America in the first place? Mm-hmm. And that's this administration. They could shut that down.
Mm-hmm.
They can shut that down.
Well, I mean, Trump, to his credit, was doing what he could to do that. And Joe Biden literally bragged about that being one of the policies that he was reversing.
Yeah.
I mean, they very, very clearly and deliberately reversed Trump's Remain in Mexico policy to try to encourage this kind of migration.
Now, my weird sense of humor. Again, you can't make fun of human beings. What? That's what I do.
What else do you make fun of?
But they gave them, you know, the brochure. you know, they gave them the brochure. It was a publication from, it was written in both English and Spanish. It was titled Massachusetts Refugee Benefits. Had pictures of Massachusetts. And it contained information directly from the Massachusetts government website. That's what they gave these folks as they loaded them and rolled them up.
Have you seen the consent form that the people who are being bused from Texas have to sign?
No.
It's amazing. It's great. It's it says you're going to be, and again, it's in English and Spanish, and it's like you're going to be taken to, you know, one of these two places, and it lists like New York, and it says this is a sanctuary city for you. They have promised the resources to, you know, to take care of you. And then it says Washington, D.C. And it's like, this will put you closer to your congresspeople who can help you because they've advocated for you to be here. So we're just trying to help you out, sending you to these people who have asked you to come.
Yeah. Sanctuary cities, they sound good, right? They sound good. But until somebody asks them to actually sanctuary.
Yeah.
They don't sanctuary so much when they are actually sanctuarying.
Well, I mean, just the idea that there's a sanctuary city typically means you've broken the law in some regard and you need some sort of
sanctuary.
Relief. So I'm not so sure how I feel about that.
Exactly. Over one third of San Franciscans plan to leave because their sanctuary city has become crime ridden. Over 1,650 people to measure attitudes on what's working, what isn't, performance of the city government, the future of the city, and more. Respondents overwhelmingly indicated the great deal isn't working. The city is performing poorly. The future looks bleak, and it may not be worth hanging around much longer. 65% said of the respondents said the city run by Democratic Mayor London Breed was worse than when they first moved there. Only 10% said it was better.
10% said it was better?
Yeah, idiots.
When did they move there?
Right. Women reportedly found the city to be worse than did their male counterparts, 69%, reporting a significant deterioration. And they represented a 7-point gendered change. Not the first time gendered change has happened in San Francisco. Only 7% noting there were big signs of improvement.
Oh, my God. What delusional world are they living in? It's really sad to see. I mean, think about how beautiful that city used to be. It used to be.
It's, I mean, the skyline, the whole.
Yes.
You know, the beautiful, the food was good. I mean, it was, it used to be. Now, I've seen a lot of meltdowns in San Francisco, like out on the streets.
Right.
I mean, I saw some rich guy lose his mind in the lobby of the hotel. I mean, one time it was interesting. Really? The police had to come get him. Oh, yeah. It
was, dude, what was he upset about?
I just, they messed up his reservation. And he just literally lost his shit to the point where he was threatening everybody in the lobby.
Oh, my God.
And police had to come get him.
Wow.
By the time they took him out, he was pretty much undressed.
Oh. Seems like an odd way to
I mean, this guy had money, you could tell. Or, you know, he pretending to have.
Yeah.
He thought the world owed him something. He wasn't white either. I laugh because of privilege. There were 23,500 crimes of theft or larceny. This is this year.
Jeez.
209 crimes of arson, 4,222 carjackings. Carjackings. 4,086 burglaries, 1,804 assaults, 1,634 robberies, 170 rapes, 36 murders. Yeah.
Who was it?
And that's only exacerbated at the state level. We're just talking about San Francisco.
Right. And there was, was it Seth Rogen, one of the actors, and I know this was L.A., not San Francisco, but talking about like, yeah, man, like your car just gets broken into. I mean, that's just part of living in L.A. Like,
it's just what you do.
The rite of passage. Come on, man. It happens to everyone. It's just so weird.
I don't know, man. I got a weird view of freedom, you know, and liberty and just being able to protect your shit.
Yeah.
I just have a weird sense of just, you know, keep your hands off my stuff, right?
You were talking about the man who had a meltdown in the middle of a hotel. Speaking of keep your hands off my stuff, I about had a meltdown when I came back from a trip one day and walked into the parking lot at the airport and saw that someone had, like, hit my car enough that there was a dent in it. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to.
I know what you said.
You do know what I said. Because I'm like, this is my stuff. I worked hard for it.
Yeah.
This is, I bought a nice car because I worked hard for it. And you, who doesn't give a shit about your own stuff.
What?
Just carelessly knocks my door. And did they leave their information? No.
Yeah. I mean, think of Stu Bregeer. Just think of him. Think of him. This guy's been waiting 14 months for a new car.
Unreal.
And then imagine you finally get that, right? You get that car. And you take it somewhere. And, and I'm not there, I'm just stupid. Anybody who goes through this.
Right.
You
right.
save up the money.
Yes.
You know, buying a new vehicle is a stressful experience. You put the down payment,
it's
you get the
mine.
Credit. You
know,
you
I do bought the
thing. I bought it. And then you're going to come jack with it.
Yes.
Mess it up.
It's
and I
so
got to deal with it.
Violating.
You know, I had my truck stolen.
God, I almost forgot
like,
that.
What was that, 2 years, 3 years
yes.
ago now? Out of, you know, Dallas. Not far from here, as a matter of fact.
A very recognizable truck, by the way.
Probably too recognizable. probably too recognizable.
You know, they stole it
Getting
and went
it
in there.
Wrapped with my face That's probably was not a...
They stole it and went, oh, shit, this is Chad Prather's truck.
Yeah, pretty sure that was a targeted hit, but my face wasn't really on the truck, folks.
No.
It's fake news, quite honestly. fake news. They had that thing stripped down in 10 minutes, guaranteed.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But... you know, you do all that and then somebody comes and jacks with it. I mean, that's keep your hands off my stuff.
Yes. Certainly don't excuse it.
You know what? Keep your hands off my hair. I'm going to keep the hair that I have. And hair loss can be tough. You see it in your pictures. Your barber points it out. The barbers always point it out. Everybody keeps telling me when they see a picture of me with no hat on, they're like, why don't you just let it go? Just let it go. No. What are you going to do about it if your hair is thinning? Don't go off, shave it off. Don't do all that stuff. Save your hair with Keeps. Keeps has clinically proven, FDA-approved hair treatments available online, and you can prevent hair loss, you can stimulate hair growth, or take care of the hair you have. Your Keeps physician is going to help you select the right products and develop a personalized hair-saving routine that works for you. Easy stuff. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy visits. Keeps is delivered straight to your door at about half the cost. And if you have questions, you can message your Keeps doctor 24/7. If those balding jokes are wearing thin, join thousands of guys who have saved their hair. Visit keeps.com/loss for 50% off your order. That's Keeps, KEEPS.com/loss. Keeps.com/loss. We'll be right back. Everybody says it. We make a living just bitching about things. And yeah, it's fun.
Are you jealous?
It's fun.
It is fun. I'd like to believe we're doing more than just bitching, though.
Yeah. Have you ever done any stem cell stuff?
No.
Like, I'm going to start. I got a buddy of mine who's got a stem cell deal.
Really?
I'll tell more about it later on. But yeah, like he's got a clinic in Waco.
Okay.
And you can get the stem cell injections or even the IVs. It ain't cheap.
What does it do?
It makes you feel like a 25-year-old again. The stem cell
I could use that.
Therapy, actually, it rebuilds the stuff that's mm-hmm. been broken down in your body. So, like, if you're having, you know, like I got arthritis in my elbows and mm-hmm. stuff like that, you can get those injections. It'll actually rebuild the tissue and all that kind of stuff. People who have done stem cell therapy, I mean, they swear by it. I mean, I've known people. I've worked with a ton of professional athletes, former professional athletes, organizations that are helping veterans and all this kind of stuff. We've done a ton of stuff, but people were having to go to, like, Colombia and Mexico City and stuff like that to get these treatments.
Wow.
Now starting to get it here. And so good buddy. I'll tell more information later on. But
yeah.
My buddy,
does it make you look younger?
Well, in some cases, and it reminded me because we were just talking about the Keeps stuff. Yeah. In some cases, I know people who their hair starts growing again.
I'm interested.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So anyway, I think next week I'm going to go down and maybe get a.
I would love to hear more.
Yeah. I don't want to tell their business, but. Steve Helms, the Texas legend. Him and his wife, they've been doing it. They love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to Good talk stuff. To him about it. That's fascinating.
Getting their knees and stuff
treated. I don't know that I want to spend the money.
Well, I'll tell
it.
You this. Former,
I haven't hit the age where like my body's bothering me.
Former Dallas Cowboy, great legend, Bob Lilly. I was with him. I had dinner with him a couple years ago. Me and Coach Jackie Sherrill. Jackie Sherrill was at Texas A&M and Mississippi State and he's a friend, and I'd done plenty of events with the coach, and we were there. We were having dinner, and it was again for a benefit that was helping raise money for people who need the stem cell stuff. Bob Lilly, honestly, the man, and he's up there. He's 80s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He was on death's door. Started getting the stem cell therapy, and he's a new man.
Wow,
he's a new man. So again, I'm not saying go get it or anything like that. I'm just saying I'm exploring this.
You know, it's funny because my older son. Who you know very well. Sometimes he'll get in these, phases where he's like very concerned about how much time he has left before he dies. Mm. And so he's like, well, how old do people live? And I just try to tell him, honey, you don't need to worry about that because however old people live now, it's gonna be way older by the time you get to be up there because the science is just changing.
It's always changing. So, and there's more people turning 100 than any other demographic in America.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I try to like avoid answering that question.
Just tell him never go to San Francisco. Yeah. And he doesn't have to worry about the pandemic anymore because Joe Biden has said that's over.
Yay.
I'm going to change gears with you, Mark. Joe Biden on 60 Minutes, he told, who was that, Harry Shearer? What's that guy's name?
Shoot.
What's that
what
dude's
is
name?
His name?
Mr. President.
Scott. Is it Scott?
What's his name? Anyway.
Let me look it up.
I know it's not Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer
like
is his
Scott
voice on The Simpsons.
But
he called it. Now the White House yesterday made, they walked it
Scott
back.
Scott Pelley, I think.
They walked it back because during the interview, Joe Biden said the pandemic was over despite numbers from the CDC showing hundreds of Americans dying every day from COVID-19. And so the White House now has walked that back. And Pelley, what's his name?
Yeah, Scott Pelley.
Scott Pelley. And so he asked him, he said, America, Mr. President, first Detroit auto show in 3 years. Is the pandemic over? Biden said, the pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But It's but the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everyone seems to be in pretty good shape. So I think it's changing, and I think this is a perfect example of it. Now, again, this would be the thing. If Donald Trump or anybody on the right were to say something like that, it'd be hell to pay because the Reeves would lose her freaking mind. And, you know, it's just like those people celebrating those migrants getting on the bus and leaving, and they're, the only time you saw them celebrate was when they were leaving.
Te amo.
Te amo.
Te amo.
Te amo.
As we deport you, you're someone else's problem now. Te amo.
Oh, the Stepford wives are going back to tea and Chardonnay. So, but now the White House yesterday, they walked it back. They said, we didn't mean for the president to say what the president said.
Oh.
How many times now does the White House have to keep walking back? Or walk it back?
Well, you know, it's funny because the rest of us have known for a while now that the pandemic has been over,
yeah.
Right? But it's never been something that the government has been willing to admit because then they would have to relinquish some of the power that they stole from you. Yes, stole from you.
Yeah.
But it was just fascinating when he said that because it enraged me because I'm like, you just used this stupid pandemic that you claim we're still in to get emergency use authorization for a booster shot that has been tested in 8 mice and no humans. You just used that as an excuse for emergency use authorization.
Right.
You just determined that it was an emergency and said that you were going to give student loan forgiveness. And the basis upon which you made that decision was that we were in a pandemic and it was an emergency. And weeks later, you're like, nah, it's not a thing anymore.
So I was, again, talking to somebody about the stem cell thing. They're in the eighth clinical trial of this thing with the stem cell for COVID. They've given it to people who are, really bad off.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
So we'll see.
Now, will it
make mainstream? If that's true. If that's true. Again, allegedly.
Right.
If it's true. Will you think that'll make mainstream? Because the person was telling me about it. I said, let me tell you something, bro.
No.
I said, modern medicine ain't interested in curing you.
No. Yeah.
They want you just well enough to have to stay on the prescription.
I wonder if it does anything for cancer.
That's the other thing. I mean, again, historically, there's other stuff that I've looked at that has been we know ivermectin cures certain types.
Which I think we're allowed to say now. Right? Is that we're allowed to say and not get banned
from
life?
Literally on health.gov,
right,
whatever.
Right. The NIH website as well. Yeah. Now we're allowed to say ivermectin works. Turns out it's not just a horse paste. You can actually take it and it actually benefits you. I'm glad that we can finally agree
it's
on that.
It's antibacterial. Why don't you put Clorox in your veins?
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. I can't wait to sing another song.
What?
Mark Levin shared my song.
I saw that.
Mac Levin. Of course, I always wonder, is Mac really the guy doing the Twitter? I don't know.
I think so.
You think so?
You think Mark Levin lets anyone handle his Twitter for
never
him?
Never know. I don't know about these people. These people have people.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
It was a great song. Everyone needs to listen to it.
There was a New Jersey radio host. This is in your area here as far as the stuff going on. New Jersey radio host that defended teachers who have sex with underage students.
Hmm.
Well,
okay.
I'm going to say if you're having sex with a student, you just leave the underage part out.
Yes.
Even if you're of age, if you're a teacher having sex with a student that's even 18 years old,
that's a no-go.
You lose the job, the whole thing. So,
how did they defend it?
Dennis Malloy and Judy Franco, radio hosts in New Jersey's WKX WFM, voiced controversial opinions regarding teachers of sexual relationships with their underage students. They each published a blog article on the station's website defending young adult teachers accused of having inappropriate contact with their students. I don't know here.
Wait, let me guess. Were they defending women who were having inappropriate relationships with their young male students?
Well, they noted that the age of consent in New Jersey is 16. Malloy argued that while both parties' actions were wrong, the teacher should not have to register as a sex offender for it.
They have to register for a sex offender, it's because it was illegal.
It was a 24-year-old male teacher.
Okay.
Who was with a 17-year-old female student. Yeah. So he said, I'm not condoning what the man did. It was wrong. And, shouldn't have to register as a sex offender for the rest of their life.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I don't know on that. It's a hard deal. You knew what you were going into.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've already said it's wrong. You know, I dated my teacher, but I waited till I was 32. 33 or 34, I don't know, something like that. We were, she was 5 years older than me. We're still good friends.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't explore the tensions when I was in her English class.
It's just, I'm actually, you're bringing up what I thought that this was, because I was shocked that it wasn't defending female. The women yeah. with the young males, because somehow in our society we've determined that, like, it's okay because, you know, 16-year-old boys give their friends high fives when they score it with the teacher, that's not yeah. somehow damaging or inappropriate.
Yeah.
It shocks me because so many on the conservative side would just be like, well, that was like the best time of his life. It's like, yeah, I'm sure he thinks so in the moment. But for the same reason that we say that children yeah. can't consent to, gender reassignment surgery and all of these other things, boys are no different than girls. In fact, girls mature quicker. So yeah. certainly a young boy who's not an adult is not in the right mindset to be able to consent to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some situations out there where I've known of where I was like, yeah, registering as a sex offender. I know you're like, punish them all. But there's some situations out there where I look at it and I'm like, really? And like, you know, sure. a guy's 21 and he dates a girl that's 17in sure. a certain state or something like that.
Sure.
It's like,
sure.
yeah. And she comes out and says, well, he exposed himself to me. Well, now he's got to register as a sex offender. I don't
know. No, I'm talking about like yeah. the 32-year-old yeah, female teacher with the 14-year-old boy.
Whole other deal.
Yeah.
But then again, if you're the teacher and you hook up with a student, there's all levels of wrong on that.
Yeah. yeah.
All well, levels of wrong.
I mean, that's just you're in a power position. So, right. you know, they talk you about become, the Me Too movement.
You become
like, this
a
is...
seductor. You become a seductress. You have a person that's impressionable.
Predatory behavior.
It is. And that's not okay. So, in that regard, I think you should have to register mm-hmm. in a deal like that because you took advantage of a position of authority.
Yep.
It's not like, you know, you're 21 dating a 17-year-old. You took advantage of a position of authority.
Yeah, if you're going to date someone that young, go find someone who's not your student.
And again, when I was 24, I already had two children. So yeah. I think of 24-year-olds differently.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I matured pretty damn fast.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I just think there's some stuff there that there's some gray area in regards to that. But when it comes to a teacher,
No.
All right, when it comes to liberals in Congress, there's no way they would accept term limits on themselves, and yet they're now fighting tooth and nail to impose term limits on Supreme Court justices. Term limits for thee, but not for me. Sounds completely hypocritical to me, but of course, since when has it ever been a problem for the left to do that? They do whatever it takes to seize more power, even if it means purging the Supreme Court of its most experienced justices. To no one's surprise, their new court purging scheme would remove long-serving conservative justices like Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and then they would be replaced with new justices who would rubber stamp their radical agenda. Well, since Democrats are working hard to pass court purging with term limits, we need to work even harder to stop it. Or the Supreme Court, as we know it, will never be the same. So if you care about the integrity of the Supreme Court and don't want to see it taken over by political hacks, visit SupremeCoup.com. That's SupremeCoup.com. SupremeCoup.com. We'll be right back. Oh, well, welcome back to the show, folks. It appears as if we're watching the not-so-decline of American economic freedom in real time. I mean, right in front of our faces. The numbers bear this out, folks. Every year, there's a think tank called the Fraser Institute, and they release a report on the economic freedom of the world in which they rank countries accordingly. Now, this report measures economic freedom using a lot of factors, including size of government, respect for property rights, freedom to trade, monetary policy, and regulation. Now, you and I being red-blooded Americans, we think that America would be number one at the top of that list with a bullet, as she surely has been down throughout the past couple of centuries, well, mostly, and the past century for sure, at least. But no, as a matter of fact, we just lost our spot in sixth place from last year, and we're now at seventh in the world. Seventh. We're currently behind Hong Kong, Singapore, Switzerland, New Zealand, Denmark, and freaking Australia. And as if that wasn't enough to curl your toes and make your hair fall out, the numbers show that it's actually a lot worse than that, because The reason we only fell one spot down is that the rest of the world has fallen precipitously over the past couple of years as well. Ever since the flu Manchu got its moment in the spotlight, countries all around the world have become severely less economically free. If our rate of declination was to be in a vacuum, in other words, if we had experienced a decline over the past 2 years and the rest of the world had just carried on as normal, we would be 20th on the list of economically free countries. Let that sink in. That's not just outrageous. It's absolutely unacceptable. Now, I know that I shout the praises of the orange man, Donald Trump, and his administration from the rooftops pretty often on this show or wherever my social media takes me. But the current administration leaves me no choice. Before this band of idiots got into power, we were crushing it in terms of building back American economic freedom. We didn't just have a booming economy before the pandemic. We had an administration in general and a president in particular who understood the value of things like deregulation within the American market. We had a long way to go, as the evidence of this report over the years suggests, but by God, we were making massive strides in the right direction. And now, where are we? We're heading down the ladder. Headed almost like to a second or third world status thanks to the machinations of Biden and his friends. I mean, here's the silver lining. Even the Democrats must have some dim understanding of what this president is doing to this country. Otherwise, his polls wouldn't be so consistently in the toilet, even on their side of the aisle. As bad as the woke contingency of the Democratic Party is, and as loud as they are in our politics, they don't by any means represent the majority of Democratic voters. In other words, even Democrats, by and large, are concerned with the shit show this economy has become just in the past 2 years, in the past year in particular. Now, I'm not breathing that huge sigh of relief yet when it comes down to these clowns leaving office. November is coming up, and the greatest thing we could hope for would be to turn Joe Biden into a lame duck for the next 2.5 years. But I never underestimate the power of Republicans to screw things up. I am determined, though, and you should be too. It's time for us to rise up and become the leaders of the free world once again. It's a position we fought and paid for, and the world truly does need us to be doing it right. We Americans truly are the rising tide that lifts all boats, and we've got to stop sleeping on the job.
Amen.
CJ and I, you know, we've been doing that series of videos, Make Me a Sandwich, mostly to piss off the feminists, but I like sandwiches. And so we made a bologna sandwich, a Joe Bologna sandwich. It's on my YouTube channel, it's on my Facebooks, it's on my Instagrams, all that kind of stuff. We're having fun with it. And but again, the whole point of that video was, well, we can't afford a fancy sandwich, we've got to make a Joe Bologna sandwich.
Wow, I can't remember the last time I had bologna, but now I really want some.
Joe brought bologna back.
It's so gross.
Yeah,
I mean, it's delicious, but
he built bologna back better. Meat parts is what we're eating. It's one big hot dog is what it is. It's one big sliced hot dog.
It sure does taste good, though. Oh, fried bologna?
She'd never had bologna.
Really?
36 years old, she never had bologna.
I'm sure, number one, she appreciates you sharing her age with everyone.
I don't give a
shit.
But
also, number two, what is she? Our Martha's Vineyard?
Martha's Vineyard. She's from the Woodlands, Texas. Yeah.
Martha's Vineyard.
She's from the Woodlands, Texas version of Fredericksburg. Fredericksburg is the Texas version of Martha's Vineyard.
Bologna.
Bologna.
What is this bologna?
Bologna. What is this you speak of? Why am I your guinea pig, sir? Just put the sausage in your mouth and shut up.
Why are you feeding me meat pots?
That is a butthole. This is a meat butthole.
But wow, sure.
Wow, it's delicious. I've never eaten ass. Yes, you have.
No.
Just wasn't fried. Well, sorry, Mom.
I did not realize when I derailed the conversation that's where it was going to end. Whew.
I've never seen you cackle that hard. Oh my God! I'm going to be in Fredericksburg, Texas, drinking the wine. Fine wine.
That was probably my favorite trip that I ever took with my husband outside of our
Fredericksburg,
marriage.
Fredericksburg, Texas is a lot of people. It's a crowd. It's a great place to go antiquing.
Fun. We want to go back.
Yeah.
We just have this thing called children. Yeah.
They really cramp your wine tastings, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. No, we're going to be there Friday night, Rock Box Theater. It'll be a sold-out show. Here's the thing about it frustrates me about venues and theaters is when you start having to you get those onesie-twosie seats, you know?
Yeah.
Because people separate. They don't want to sit by the one, and they leave the one seat in the middle. So there's like a dozen seats that are sitting there that are onesie-twosies. Now, there's still some in the back where you guys can get them. And there's not a bad seat in that venue.
The venue should just be allowed to, like, at a certain point, just...
Move people.
Yeah, just push people.
But even if they did that, you just have the one on the end. So that would suck.
Maybe. See?
But, you know, you got a whole aisle and there's a one seat.
Yeah, that's annoying.
And see, that's what they do. These venues, they go, oh, well, we'll give you a bonus. We'll sign you a bonus check if you sell it out. Well, it's impossible to sell it out.
Right.
Because you guys put odd numbers
They're not expecting you to work that out in your little noggin, though, Chad.
Well, I've been doing shows a long time. I know how these structures work, both the theaters and the bonuses, all of them structures. But we're going to be in Fredericksburg. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have fun. The Ragamuffins, we are so tight. I have the best musicians in North Texas.
I can't wait to hear you guys live again.
I am the most mediocre musician, but I have the best musicians.
I also think that you're great, but you guys are just amazing.
We went we have great chemistry together. We went in the studio and we've all known each other for years and years.
Right.
Years and years. We just decided to bring it all together. And I got Steve Helms on the guitar. You got Ben McPherson on the fiddle. You got Jeff Gilbert on drums and Mike Wasden on the bass. And then there's little old me. And we did a song in the studio. I got over you and you got under him.
Yeah.
And so that's going to come out. It's going to be fun. We got another one we're going to go in studio and do. We're going to sing it for the first time, I think, live in Fredericksburg on Friday night. It takes 2/5 to make that girl a 10.
Yes. And, for the audience, I'm sorry because this is going to be really annoying because I'm going to be telling you to be excited about something that you don't know yet. But I've heard these songs and they are, trust me when I tell you, they are game changers.
Yeah. Well, I send them, when I write these songs or whatever, or whoever, we get these songs, we put them together, we compile them, I send them over to you for your approval. And
there's some so funny stuff. Good. I mean, the writing is amazing. And they are they're jams. Yeah. Like, I'm like,
they
I hear
are.
This.
They're banger jam. I mean, they really are.
I was like, I hear this on radio stations all over the place.
And like the whole thing, we just get somebody to carry it. I mean, that's the whole deal. So if you guys are conservative radio promoters and people like that, you want to take on a project, Chad Prather and the Ragamuffins is one of those deals that cancer culture is going to hate and you want to trigger some people. When I say quality music, but it's going to be risque because we're going to say, but it's an earworm. Like I Got Over You and You Got Under Him. That song gets in your head.
Yes.
You can't get it out.
Yes. And then, so are the other ones that I heard.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I got a song that's partnered up with my buddy Chuck Allen Floyd, who's an incredible singer-songwriter. And this is one of his, it takes 2/5 to make that girl a 10. If I want to lick her later, well, I better lick her now.
So good.
That's why we drink. That's why we lick now. If we lick her now,
Let's lick her up.
Yeah, we better lick her up.
So just be like, get excited about these things on the horizon with him.
We got some good stuff coming out. And, but it's fun. We've been in the studio, Bart Rose's studio over there at Fort Worth Sound and having a good time. That's why I say, we talked about it yesterday, people won't talk about canceling you. These people should never be allowed to sing again. Well, we're going to do it anyway. And as long as people, that's why it's so important that whenever we post a show, you need to go to watchchad.com, visit my website, and just see if we're going to do a show. You want some of this?
Yeah.
Even if we're not in your area, at some point in time, we'll come to your area.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But you need to support it and find out, because that's how you get over the cancel culture. Go out and have a conservative good time.
Yep.
And I just did a show the other night, and a girl comes up to me. She manages the theater, and she goes, I got to confess something. I need to tell you something. I said, what? She goes, I'm a Democrat. And I said, I got to tell you something. I don't give
care.
A shit. I said, did I say something that in any way bothered you? She goes, no, I had a blast.
That's
biggest
great.
Crowd they've ever had in that theater. And
wow.
I was like, we had a blast. They're like, we got to have you back. I was like, it's amazing. People with common sense, that's what they do. Yeah. Hang on, we'll be right back.
That's really funny.
Let's see, we talked about that.
I'm really distracted because my mom just sent me a really cute video of my son. I just felt
You know, kids are like farts. You only love your own. You know?
It's true. I often wonder how teachers can do what they do.
Oh, my God,
there's
no way.
If I was stuck with 20 of these kids, I would not be a good time.
I do love your kids.
Yeah, thanks.
Sarah Rao previously said that looking at the U.S. flag makes her want to puke. She now claimed that all Republicans are Nazis.
Who?
She's a co-author of the forthcoming book, White Women, Everything You Already Know About Your Own Racism and How to Do Better.
Oh.
Yeah. So this country is a racist, transphobic, homophobic, xenophobic, ableist, classist, Islamophobic,
misogynistic.
My eyes went cross. Dumpster fire. As such, seeing the American flag makes me want to puke. That was her tweet.
Vomit. What is...
So you're telling me that you have
leaving.
Anorexia or bulimia?
I mean, but really...
I guess I'm fatphobic now.
Why are they still here if they hate this country that much?
Listen, I just literally told you six other countries that are economically better off than America. Pick one.
I mean, really?
Pick one. I just told you six in that last monologue. Right? We rank seventh now.
Yeah.
We go to one of those other nations. I had a guy the other day who came at me because I said, look... Men and women bled and died for this country. It should be harder to be an American citizen.
Yes.
You should have some skin in the freaking game.
Yes.
You shouldn't just come in here and us go, okay, the doors are open. You shouldn't do that. I mean, our liberty is soaked in blood, right? Our Constitution matters. Assimilating to our values and our country and the things that it stands dear to. I mean, that should matter, right? You don't just get to come in here and run roughshod over it. And some guy says, well, you guys in America think everything's better. And I looked at this thing, and he was from Belgium. I said, bro, we liberated Belgium in September of 1944. I mean, we've consistently lifted people up. He said, did you thank the French for your independence? Yeah, we liberated them in 1945.
Yeah.
So we kind of have.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they need to be telling us thank you.
Right.
You know, we appreciate the French's contribution to the American War of Independence.
Yeah.
We probably could not have won it without the French's contribution. But I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but that was back in the 1700s. I think the reparations have been paid.
Yes.
You know, old the sculptor Eiffel, he gave us a Statue of Liberty. I think we made our peace with you guys. Oh, and by the way, bring me your poor, your hungry, your huddle masses, all that. That's not constitutional.
Oh, God, I hate it when they quote that. It's a poem.
Written by a Frenchman.
It's a poem. It's not law. It's not dictate. Like,
well, that's not very Christian of you. I love the people who say that too.
Oh,
very Christian of you.
Well, you know what's Christian of me? To make sure that we have sovereign borders so that my children and my children's children aren't just associating with criminals who are just running rampant in our country.
Well,
I think that that's pretty Christian
of me. If
you
read Matthew 24, you hear Jesus predict what was for them the end of time. And I believe, my interpretation, a lot of people think it's the end of time. I think he was talking about 70 AD when the Romans sacked Jerusalem. And what they did was, again, if you read your Old Testament, they talk about building the wall around Jerusalem. That was a very, like, books of the Old Testament are written about building the wall around Jerusalem. Jesus said, there will not be one stone left on top of another. The whole curse of the judgment for crucifying the Son of God placed on Jerusalem was that their wall would be torn down and they would lose their identity. They would lose their sense of nationality. They would be led away from that place. So part of the curse was they lost their wall.
Wow.
And so Christian of me to bring that kind of thing up. Yeah. If you want to see not Christian of me, go watch the first 5 minutes of yesterday's show. I mean, that in and of itself.
You know what I love, too, is that they always, the left, always, I don't have anything... You know, when I'm talking about Twitter, I don't have anything in my bio that's like, I'm a Christian. It's just not in there, right?
Like,
but they constantly, if you are conservative or like spout some sort of conservative view, they're like, oh, that's not very, what would Jesus do? That's not very Christian of you. I'm like, I didn't say anything about
being a Christian. And again, not in that context. Again, I don't put Jesus on my business card.
Right. So like, so who are you to assume? I'm not saying I'm not, but like, why is that the thing that you always go to when you hear, you think that like non-Christians can't believe in freedom and liberty and maybe like, oh, I don't know, not killing babies?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw a watermark on this video that had the little ichthus fish, but I don't have that there.
Right.
Like, we were just here talking common sense.
Right. It's just so bizarre that
you can move over to that studio right over there. And Allie Stuckey will give you the Bible studies. We don't do that here. Every now and then we'll do that. And I'm not picking on Allie. God bless her for what she does. I mean, that's one of the smartest women we know.
Yeah.
And you watch her show. She'll do that. But that's not what we do here.
Right.
Not the whole deal. So anyway.
It's just such a fake. They want to hold you to a standard that like they don't actually care about or believe in the first place.
Yeah.
So, but it's just really funny to me that they always go to that. They can't imagine a conservative who is, I don't know, atheist.
Yeah. Oh, God forbid. Oh, God forbid. Well, Sarah Rao says we're all Republicans. And then whatever it was they were doing in the Trump rally, holding their hand up or their finger up or whatever they were doing the other night, and everybody saying, see, they're holding their arms up like SS Nazis.
God.
Okay. You know, that's yeah.
Sounds like a little projection to me.
It sounds a little bit like it.
A little bit.
Yeah, there was a, anyway. Sometimes when I'm singing Sucking on a Chili Dog, which is my rendition of John Mellencamp's classic song, Jack and Diane, you know, I'd hold that arm like a rocker, you know? Yeah, sucking on a chili dog! Eating bologna sandwiches.
That's very Hitler-esque.
It's very Hitler-esque. You know the thing about Hitler?
Yes?
And he killed himself. And that makes me happy. That's not very Christian of you. I'll drink to that. Blew his brains right across the room. How about that?
This took a really weird turn.
His little mustache was askew. You know why? Because it was down by his foot. Oh! Off the rails.
Get me out of here.
I want us to talk about Sasha Stone in overtime. And her New York Post article, why I can no longer vote for Joe Biden. We're going to talk about that in overtime. Okay. I want you to join me. We're going to do it. You got to subscribe to blazetv.com/Chad. Use promo code Chad to save. We are not done here. A couple of bookkeeping things. We want to wrap this thing up for a Thursday and send you into the weekend all hot and bothered. So don't go anywhere. Hang tight. We'll be right back. All the places to find all the things, shopsarahg.com. And watchchad.com for all the fun stuff is. I'm also going to be in Godly, Texas. That's right. And that's October 1st. We're going to be there at Del Norte Tacos. And then January 2023. Wow, time flies. We're starting, you heard it here first, the Buck Wild Comedy Tour.
What?
It's going to be me, Dustin Sims, Zach Rushing, Jesse Payton. And let me tell you, you want to wear your big girl panties to that show.
Wow.
That's right.
I'm your best friend. This is the first time I'm hearing
first
that.
Time you've heard. Buck Wild Comedy Tour. And trust me, it's going to be raw. We love you. God bless you. See you on overtime. Bye.
Wow.